What's up, y'all? It's your girl Samantha, and it's my podcast, Naturalize. I want to start off by saying, I know it's been a minute, and people have been asking me when is a new episode coming out, and what's taking so long, and amongst a lot of other things. And I just want to reiterate that this is not a podcast that moves off of how I feel. It's not a podcast that makes me want to get up here and give you something that I haven't experienced myself. This podcast is Holy Spirit led. I know it's a lot of podcasts out there. I know everybody is doing a podcast. I know everybody is. Hey, did you listen to this podcast or did you listen to that podcast? Recommending all type of stuff or whatever. But just because everybody doing it don't mean they really call to it, you know what I mean? And that's not to throw shade on nobody else's podcast or nothing like that. It's just simply that this podcast is something that I'm called to. And so I can't move off of how I feel. I can't move when I feel like I'm ready. I can't move without any type of direction from God, right? And so I sit and I wait and I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me into topics and lead me into permission for me to release certain things, you know? And so I know it's been a minute, but I've been in a season where God has been teaching me things to give me the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to get up here to teach what I have just been previously taught, right? Because there's a lot of people out here who's teaching things that they themselves have not even applied, or they themselves have not even went through. And I just don't want to lead people astray when this walk is already hard enough. I don't want people to hear the good stuff and be unfamiliar to things that are going to happen on this walk with Christ, but people fail to tell them about. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to do that. And so I've been in this season where God has been literally downloading so many things and so much stuff, and I'm finally at a point where God is allowing me to talk about what I've learned and what I've been through and what I'm facing and all this type of stuff. And so that's where I've been. I've been trying to stay afloat in a season that was trying to take me out, okay? And so I'm happy to say your girl made it, okay? Period. But I'm also happy to say that this is the first episode of season 15. And why season 15 and why now? We're in season 15 because a shift has just taken place in my life. And it's not just in my life. And I know this podcast looks a little different, right? I don't have the whole setup. I don't have all of that put together. I just didn't want to wait. And that's another thing about this podcast. It's so authentic and real. I don't want to get dolled up, and I don't want to be an image. It just to be an image thing, I don't want it. Yeah, you can have the geeks and the gamuts, but I felt like God was allowing me to speak tonight, and this was all that I had, and all you have is all you need, okay? And so I'm using what I have to get out what I feel like God has placed on my heart. But season 15, I'm in this new place, and this shift took place. And if you're in the body of Christ, you know the shift that I'm talking about. It actually took place around July. And it was in the spiritual realm. You could just feel it. It just felt different. You didn't really know what it was, but you just felt lighter. You felt like God was literally shifting things around to prepare you to receive some things that you have been praying for and being faithful to. And so a lot of shifts have taken place over the course of time, not just in the spiritual realm, but physically as well. And so I'm in season 15 where I'm starting a new transition, where I'm in a new season, where God is doing a new thing, and where I'm in a different headspace. And so, you know, I know September the 1st was yesterday and today's the 2nd. Sorry, y'all. Like I said, I'm on my computer and stuff, but today is the 2nd and today is Monday. It felt like Sunday. I know it's, you know, it's Labor Day and it felt like Sunday to me. And I've been trying to remind myself, like, girl, it's not Sunday. But I just felt so much lighter and so full of joy today. I felt like yesterday I felt it and today I felt it. Like, I feel like September is going to be a very good month. And I know we say it time after time, once the first comes of every month, but that shift has taken place in the spiritual realm and also physically in my life as well. And so this is why season 15 is transpiring, and this is the first episode, and we're going to talk about some really hard things today that people don't want to hear about, people don't want to talk about, because life be lifing, and sometimes you don't want to talk about what it is you're going through in life because it's already hard enough living it, right? And then it becomes a public thing, and so now you're having to deal with people's opinions, right? But that's the difference between being called to do something and, well, I would say being called to do something versus wanting to do something, right? Sometimes we don't want to do certain things, so we don't. But when God calls us, you don't have a choice. And so, you know, this podcast is so authentic and so transparent and so real and raw that I don't have a choice because I didn't choose this. It chose me. And God was like, you're going to show people what a process looks like. And so you're going to tell them the raw, uncut truth about the things that this walk consists of that other people don't talk about, because people only talk about the good parts when it comes to Christ. Nobody don't want to talk about the hard parts. And so when people start facing hard things in their life, they don't know how to respond to it because all they've heard is, oh, God's going to do a miracle. Oh, God will pay a bill. God will heal the sick. You know, nobody talks about what if God doesn't heal you and you have a terminal illness. Nobody talks about what if God doesn't fix the marriage. Nobody talks about what if the thing you thought you were passionate about and called to do is actually not the thing you're passionate and called to do. Nobody talks about those things. And so this is the raw, uncut truth that takes place on this walk with Christ that people refrain from talking about because it then allows people to have an opinion about your life. But the difference between being not wanting to and being called to, when you're called to do something, God will prepare you to handle the assignment. And so that's why I'm able to get up here and share the raw, uncut truth with you, because I have been prepared. I have been equipped to get up here to know that opinions will come, but opinions don't matter because I know who I am in Christ and I know whose I am. So I am able to get up here and talk about the things that people refrain from talking about simply because some people have not got to that point on their walk with Christ or in their life in general. Yeah, my voice is kind of shaky because I'm losing it. But they have not got to this point where people's opinion don't matter. Some people have a hard time getting to this point to where they live in this authentic, they live in this level of authenticity to where I don't have to worry about what you say or what you think because I know who I am, and what you say or what you think is not going to take away who I know I am or what I know I am. You know what I mean? And so that's why I don't mind getting up here talking about things, because I live this life, right? I don't have to. I live this every day. So why wouldn't I want to talk about it? You know what I mean? And the enemy has convinced us to be silent about the things that we are living in And that is keeping us in bondage because the moment you do not vocalize what you are aware of, the devil is the god of illusion. It's an illusion. Everything he does is an illusion. It's to make you think that, oh, refraining from talking is better because people will know your business. Or, oh, go over here and do this because it'll produce that whole time God ain't called you to do that. It's an illusion. He's the author of confusion. And so he wants to allow you to believe that talking about things you deal with only puts people in your business and then gives them an opinion about your life when in reality the Bible talks about us being set free by the power of the word and the word of our testimony. You have to speak. You have to be aware. You have to come to terms with what it is, not what you would have liked for it to be, but what it is. And so the enemy does not want you to do that because the moment you say, I'm no longer choosing to live in an illusion, I have to accept the fact that what I'm living is my truth, and I have to be okay talking about it because there is some things in this life that you did not choose. They chose you. God chose you because he knew if you went through it, it would produce what needed to be produced for you to be able to become who he has called you to become. But the enemy allows us to believe that because we have went through certain things and we have become certain ways and have developed certain things about us that aren't pleasing to God, that we're useless and we shouldn't talk about those things. You shouldn't talk about that. And so I do not allow the enemy to hold power over me. And that's another thing, because he's an author of confusion and he's the director of illusion, he will allow you to sit in silence because that takes away your power. Talking is power. Speaking things for what they are is power. Because if I am unaware, because I'm living in this illusion of what I would like for it to be versus what it actually is, it allows me to be weakened. I won't talk about it, so I start living this life. Hence why you see people, like I tell y'all all the time, I pretended to be happy with my children's father for 8 years when I was miserable because I cared about what people thought about me and because I presented things differently than what I was actually living in. And so that allowed me to be weakened. That was actually my power. But because the enemy allow me to believe that I shouldn't talk about it, I stayed in that thing and I was more so in bondage. And so the thing that you go through, the enemy don't want you to talk about because it is power. The moment you start speaking things for what they are, you start catching on to his gigs and gambits and his schemes and his deceitfulness. You start saying, oh no, I know that I struggle with sex. I know I used to struggle with sex. That was my thing. I talk about it all the time on my podcast, but I say, uh-oh, I hope this didn't go out. Hold on. Is it still doing this thing? Oh my gosh. Hold on, y'all. I don't know how that happened. Oh no, it's still doing this thing. Sorry, y'all. I know I used to struggle with sex. So I knew I had no business entertaining dudes because if it was not sent from God, it was a distraction. I would not spend a night at people's house, God's house. I would not let God spend a night at my house. Once I was working on that area of my life, on this walk with Christ, right? Because I won't always like that. But I knew I struggled with sex. So I knew things to look for, right? So for the longest, I didn't know I struggled with sex. That was the devil teaching me to oh no, you know, it's okay. It, blah, 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 blah. I used to think, I had to show my worth through having sex. Oh, he'll take me serious. Oh, it'll make him want to do this. Oh, it'll make him want to do that. That was an illusion that the enemy allowed me to believe. And so, because I became aware that sex was an issue in my life, I started vocalizing, hey, I have sex problems. Like, I used to tell guys when I would talk to them, I would say, hey, I'm celibate. I'm not addicted to sex, but I use sex to show my worth, and I'm not doing that anymore. So, I do not spend a night. I don't do any of those type of things. And that gave me power because I was able to catch on to the deceit that the enemy was sending my way. He would send guys who would say they respect that I'm celibate, but they'll do a little 1-2 too. They'll try to slide this little comment in, or slide that comment in, right? Whole time, if you respect that I'm celibate, you won't bring that up, right? You wouldn't bring nothing sexual up because you value what I got going on, right? Even if it's not something that you want to do, you don't ruin that for me. So because I started vocalizing that I had sex issues, I was then able to catch on to the deceit, and I was able to catch on to the enemy's schemes by pinpointing and using discernment. So I needed you some discernment to detect who the enemy was sending and what he was doing. And that gave me power. He didn't like it because he was having his way with it when I was unaware that sex was an issue for me. But because I started speaking it as it was and not what I wanted it to be, it gave me power. And so I was able to bypass all the things that he had set me up to fail against had I stayed in that illusion and that unawareness. So that is your power. The moment you start to speak things as they are, you no longer can tell me about me because I told you about the thing that I struggle with. That's why I love this podcast so much, because this is not tea. This is not tea. You cannot bring up something that I have disclosed of myself. You can't use it against me, and that's why the enemy don't want you to talk about what you live in and what you go through, because the moment you start talking about it, you become powerful. And it's like, oh, I know I struggle with sex, and you know I struggle with sex. You know I struggle with sex because I told you I struggle with sex. The enemy don't like when you start telling him things that he know about you because you told him about it. I'm on to the games, baby. I'm on to it. So that's why this podcast be so real and raw and uncut. And I get up here and talk about it because the enemy used to make me believe that I'm telling y'all my business. I say all the time, this is real life, baby. This ain't no business. This real life. And if I don't get up here and tell you about it, you will not be properly equipped to walk this walk out with Christ because you would think it is full of glitter and glam, and it's not. It's not. It ain't. It's far from cute. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not something that you want to show up to with a full face of makeup on and your best outfit. It's not. Some days life gonna be grabbing you by your scalp. Trust me. So that's why I get up here and tell y'all about the things, because I want you to come into agreement with what your life looks like and what it is, and to partner with God, knowing that it is still useful. God desires to use all of it. Nothing is wasted when it comes to God. But we have to come out of this illusion that the enemy is allowing us to believe that, oh, we shouldn't talk about it. Oh, I should keep that to myself. Oh, I should just deal with that in silence. Hence, there is some things that you go through that God is not going to allow you to talk about at that time. Hence why I'm talking about episode 1 of season 15 right now. I done been through that. That was this past season. I was not able to talk about what I am about to talk about and the things moving forward because it was me learning what God was teaching me. I was not in that season to where I could disclose of it because I can't teach you something I have not been taught. So I was getting the teaching so that I could teach you so that you could apply it to your life as well. So let's get going, because I wanted to give you that whole spiel because Your voice is your power. We have got to come in agreement with God to know that if you do not talk, this walk will not take you anywhere. You'll literally be like the Israelites walking around in circles, walking around in bondage when you have the opportunity to be free. Okay? And so I'm happy because this season of my life was hard. And if you followed the last episode, where I was talking about my marriage and how it was just at this, this horrible place. I'm happy to say it is still at a horrible place. And I'm not laughing because it's at a horrible place. I'm laughing because this is real life, bro. People think that things that you go through will, you might go through something for a week and it be over. No, that is a thing. There is some things that you will go through that you will get through quick. There are other things that you will have to stay in for such a duration of time because God needs you to get everything that he is trying to teach you. And if you uproot yourself too soon, you will miss what God is trying to do. And so I've been in this season of my life for a while, where this marriage is not working for me anymore. And it's been such a hard and trying season, if I'm being real. Some days I did not want to show up. Some days I did not want this marriage. Some days I felt like, God, I don't understand why you did this and why I couldn't learn what you was trying to teach me another way. Then there was also days where I said, God, did I hear you correctly? Because I know I prayed for this. I know I fasted for this. I know I made sure I ran everything by you before I got into this. And not just that, but before that, I know I heard your voice when you told me that this was my husband. But Lord, what in the world is going on? Because this is not for me anymore. And God, what do you do when you have done everything that God has asked of you and you still do not get the results that you were looking to get? What do you do? And so I'm at this season of my life where my marriage is not working. And I'm at this point in my life where I am okay with it not working. Because I don't want something so bad that it allows me to miss what God is doing in my life. And it also allows me to miss God. And I want to talk about the topic of unequally yoked. A lot of people don't think unequally yoked is a thing, and it is. And I really don't even want to talk about the unequally yoked. I'm going to touch bases on that. But my more so topic is, I want you to know that things can start off equally yoked and become unequally yoked. And so I'm at this season of my life where I'm in a marriage where my husband is not committed to the principles that align, the biblical principles that align with marriage the same way I am. And therefore, we are pulling the oxen in two different ways. And the thing that was once equally yoked has now become unequally yoked. And so we are no longer on the same page because we no longer have the same intentions. And when something loses its intentions, it loses its purpose. Sometimes we will stay in things, doing things because it's routine. The moment it no longer has intentions, which means we don't know what we're doing, we don't know where this is going, we don't have a deadline, we don't have goals, and we aren't actively reaching those things. Once it loses that, it has served its purpose. It is no longer a vital thing, nor is it vile. It is no longer something you should continue to do. And people never talk about how equally yoked can, how people can start off equally yoked and become unequally yoked, not just in marriages, not just in dating stuff, it's also in friendships. We can be on the same page and we come to a point to where we both want different things, and so we start moving in the opposite directions, and so I'm misunderstanding you, you're misunderstanding me, and it's because we no longer have a common ground where we both are able to come to terms with why you doing what you doing and why I'm doing what I'm doing. The ground has to always be common. We have to have some form of a common denominator. If not, we're literally just doing whatever. And when you start doing stuff like that, you have to understand that you'll be in the crossfire of other people's decisions and their actions. And so I always give a scenario of how you might be in a drive, you might be in a car, and somebody might start, pew pewing at the car, and you was just catching a ride with your homeboy, but you didn't even know your homeboy had been in some mess, and so somebody was really after him, and so the car get pew pewed up, and as a result of you being in the car, you get hit too. When in reality, it was not intended for you. You was just in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong folks. And you, as a result of their actions, you got hurt too. That's what happens when we no longer have intentions and people just existing in our lives, and it's something that we just continue to carry on. You then become subject to trauma, pain, and hurt that God didn't intend for you to endure because you would rather hold on to something that you should have let go. And so I'm in this point in my life where the thing that started off equally yoked is no longer equally yoked, and we are in two different directions because our baseline is not the same. And I just don't want a marriage. I don't want anything, not just a marriage. I don't want anything that allows me to compromise who God has called me to be. I don't want to be in something that allows me to uproot myself in a place that God has called me to be in this season of my life, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how broke I am, no matter how hard it is, no matter what somebody else has to take on, because I'm not able to do what I would be able to do in another season. I don't want to be in something who is not committed to what God has called me to do, because I would never want somebody else to compromise who God has called them to be if their goal is to be that person. See, sometimes we be saying we want to be who God wants us to be until God start assigning you to things and you like, whoa, I don't want to do that. And God is like, well, you got to do that in order for you to become this person, because in that situation, this is going to happen and you need that for where you're going. So you can't go where you're going unless you dib and dab in that assignment that I just assigned you to. And so people be wanting to become be they be wanting to become these the people that God has called them to be, but because it comes with things that you don't choose, God chooses that for you. You don't want to do it for real. And so I want to become who God has called me to become. And this marriage has allowed me to learn so much about myself and so much about God, to the point where I can't unsee what I see now. My husband and I were on the same page at one point in our life, right? But there is some things, I always say this, God gonna separate the real from the fake all the time, because there's people who want it, meaning want the abundance, want the relationship with God, want to be who God's called them to be, want the purpose, want all of that. And then there's people who think they want it, but they don't want to do what it takes to get it. It's some people who who want it, and they're gonna do what they need to do to get it, whether it be pain, purpose, whether it be whatever it takes. They're going to endure it because they are so adamant about becoming who God has called them to be that they're willing to do whatever it is that they got to go through to get to that point. That is me. There are some people who think they want to become that person but don't want to go through the things that is vital for them to go through, and it's necessary for them to go through so that they can become this person. So they don't. They like the idea of it, but when they start seeing the objectives that's assigned to that role, they don't want to do it. That's my husband. And so the real always separate from the fake at some point in time, right? Because sometimes people need to be exposed to people like myself, right? And I'm not saying I'm better than him. I'm not saying I'm better than nobody else. But what I'm saying is you have to get to this level of Christ to where you're committed to God. Even if you got to give up some things that you prayed for, even if you got to give up some things that you thought you could never live without, you got to want to get to that point to where you're so committed in Christ to know God has not brought me this far to leave me. So if that means letting go of the old and walking into the new, even if it's not with the people I wanted to bring, doing the things that I wanted to do, I'm committed. You have to get to this point on your walk where you're committed to God and not based off of what he does for you, but what he does with you. And I'm committed. I am committed. So in this season of my life, God has revealed to me that some people have to be exposed to people like myself to show them that you're not really who you think you are. You don't know who you don't know where you stand with God until you up against a test that's going to reveal your dedication, your discipline, and your determination to God. It's easy to be committed to God when God ain't testing you hard. It's easy to be committed to God when you ain't got to come up off no when you ain't got to make no sacrifices that's going to hurt you to the core. It's easy to be committed to God when things is working in your favor. What are you going to do to show God that you committed when he asking for you to give something back that he gave to you as a promise? What are you going to do? And see, some people have to be exposed to people like myself so that you can see you really not pursuing God the way you really should be, and you're not pursuing God the way you think you are. Because if you were, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing right now. The book of Ezekiel is literally telling people, hey, y'all been living reckless, bro. You've been thugging it out, doing whatever you want to do, going crazy, leading my folks astray, being lukewarm, being one foot in, being one foot out. And I'm just here to tell you, bro, y'all need to come back and repent, because God ain't pleased. And some people need to hear that. We want God to always sugarcoat stuff for us. We want him to always tap our hand and say, oh, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. No, sometimes you need to hear the raw truth. And sometimes you need to be told that your actions is piss poor. Your actions is not pleasing to God. What you are doing is not what aligns with the word of God. We have got to come to this point on this walk with Christ to where we understand it is okay to be corrected. Correction comes with growth. You will not grow if you will not allow nobody to correct you. Hence, there are some people who belittle you and some people who giving you just regular knowledge. I always say this all the time. Just because it's good advice don't mean it's God advice. Some people going to give you good advice and you should not apply it to your life, because everything that's good ain't God. Let me reiterate that, because everything that is good is God, but there's man-made good and there's God good. So good advice doesn't mean it's God advice, meaning that could be universal advice. If God is not applying that specific advice to the season that I'm in, I cannot utilize it. And so we got into this point where we want this good advice. We want people to say this good stuff. We want this motivational stuff, but we don't want to feel the power of conviction. You are not going to be able to grow on this walk with Christ if you do not allow people to correct you. So that means there's going to be people that you come across on your walk with God who are in the same, on the same journey as you, running the same race, which means if I am in Christ and I'm actively pursuing Christ, I'm in relationship with God, you could tell by my fruit, and I say, and I am sent to correct you on something, you should not feel offended. You should feel convicted. And offense is, oh, you're trying to make me feel like I'm this, or you're trying to make me feel like I'm that. Conviction is saying, oh, God sent her to say, hey, I see you're struggling here. And so I'm going to send somebody to let you know, hey, you're struggling here, but my grace is so sufficient that I'm sending somebody so that you can get it right, so that you can change how you're doing things, so that you can see better results, because you're not going to get what you're asking for doing the same thing. But we want to be popped on the hand. We want to be, oh, it's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. You have got to get to this point on your walk with Christ where you allow conviction to be a thing so that you could be corrected, so that you can grow into who God has called you to be. And so in this walk with Christ and in this season of my life, I have been assigned to this difficult marriage where I have been instructed to help somebody who don't want no help. I was sent by God, and sometimes we gonna miss God because we so stuck in our ways, wanting to do what we want to do, being how we want to be, being in bondage, and wanting to do things how we want to do them. Sometimes we gonna miss God because we don't want it coming from a certain person, or we don't want it, the delivery to sound like this, or we don't want it to be presented that way. Sometimes we get so focused on what we want, how we want it, when we want it, and all of that, that we miss God giving us the thing that we really need. And so I'm in this season of my life where this marriage is falling to shreds because I am committed to an assignment that one person does not want to commit to, because it is easier to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. And it's easier to move off of your own principles and knowledge and wisdom versus moving off of the biblical principles and knowledge and wisdom, because the moment you start applying the word of God and the biblical principles to your life, you then say, I cannot stay the same. There is things in my life that I am doing that are not working, and it is prohibiting me from experiencing the goodness of God in this area of my life. And so I have to make changes. If not, I am not going to be able to walk in this thing fully, because God is not going to give you something your character cannot handle. So it's easier to stay stuck in your ways, doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, and all of that good stuff. Because then that goes to say, oh, it's you. And there's nothing wrong with me. I can continue to be who I am. I can continue to do what I want to do. And I can continue to be the child on the playground that the enemy is in charge of. You sit here and the enemy is literally, you're playing on his playground. And when we realize that the goal of the enemy is to keep us from experiencing the things that God has attached to us in this lifetime, you then understand why he allows you to believe that it is okay for you to stay the same. It is okay for you to be who you are, how you are, and stuck in how you feel. Feelings are not biblical. Let me say it again. Feelings are not biblical. You do not get to make decisions in this life based off of how you feel. God does not allow you to say, oh, well, because you feel sad, you should uproot yourself. No. Oh, because you feel mad, you should cut them off. And see, and it's biblical, because it says in the Bible, it's okay to be angry, but do not allow your anger to cause you to sin. It is okay to feel your emotions, but don't allow your emotions to cause you to sin. God is saying, it's okay to feel how you feel, but just don't think your feelings overrule what I say. because that's not. So I've been in this season of my life, in this marriage, committed to something. Some days I didn't even want to show up for. Because God, I'm committed to this thing on a level that I'm dealing with somebody who is not. And because I had to remove my feelings, because God is saying, feel how you feel, but still show up. Feel how you feel, but still do what I've called you to do. Feel how you feel, but you better give this your all. Feel how you feel, but still learn what I'm teaching you. And so I've been in this marriage to where it's been hell. It's been hell. But because I don't allow my feelings to overrule what God has called me to do, I've shown up. I've shown up. I've did the work. I've committed. I've overcommitted sometimes, I felt like on days. And I just want you to know that there's going to be some points in your life where the thing that started off equally yoked, it will become unequally yoked. And you have to get to that point to where you say, God, if this is no longer for me, Lord, not my will, your will be done. And that is where I am in my on this point in my marriage. Because I cannot allow things to keep me from becoming who God has called me to become. It literally says in the Bible, it is better for you to cut off your hand, for you to cut off your hand, than to allow yourself basically to deteriorate. Not, you know, we ain't cutting off our actual hand, but what God is saying is, it's best that you let that thing go, because if you don't let that thing go, it's gonna ruin you. It's gonna take you out. And so I'm at this point in my life where I no longer want that for me. I've served this marriage to the best of my ability. I've done everything that I could do. When you want to be stuck in your ways, there's gonna come a point where God is gonna say, I'm gonna let you have that. And the thing I tried to give you, I'm going to uproot from your life because your character cannot handle it. And because you can't control your own bleeding, you are now bleeding onto other people. And you're not going to bleed onto somebody who has done the work to be where they are, who has been faithful to me on the days they didn't even want to show up, who has done what I've asked them to do. You're not going to bleed onto them because you can't get yourself together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to restrict you access to this thing because your character can't handle it. So if you want to bleed, continue to bleed on your own, but you're not going to bleed over here. And so sometimes I think people think that God won't take the thing from you that he gave you because, oh, God gave me that. Yes, he will. If your character will not continue to maintain the things that God has given you in previous seasons, you're going to come up off of that. Yes, you will. You might have had the character to handle the thing when God gave it to you some seasons ago, but because you start feeling yourself a little bit or whatever the case may be, you now lose it. You now get to this point to where, oh, you know, this or that or whatever. And God is like, yeah, I'm gonna need that back, buddy. Because I didn't give it to you for you to stunt. I didn't give it to you for you to change your ways. I didn't give it to you for you to become arrogant. I didn't give it to you for you to become manipulated, for you to be manipulated, for you to be manipulating other people. I didn't give you this for you to become bitter. I didn't give you this to become angry or whatever. I gave you this because you showed me at that time that you was able to handle it. But now you don't have the character to continue to handle this thing. And so I'm gonna need that back. Yes, huh? That is exactly how it works. So there's gonna be some things in your life that if you do not do the consistent work to maintain the blessing that God has given you, because blessings are not a one-time thing. Blessings have to be maintained. And if you do not maintain that's just like a car. You don't buy a new car, it get new tires, and boom, you got tire that set of tires gonna last for the That set of tires is gonna last for the rest of the duration of the car. You don't just need one oil change right when you get the car. The car has to be maintained. The car gonna need constant fuel. It's gonna need the tires changed, tires rotated, the brakes changed, the filters changed. It's gonna need a tune-up. It's gonna need all these things. It's got to be maintained so that it can last the duration that got, that it is intended to last, right? A car can last you for years based off of the maintenance that you give it. Things in our life can last for years based off the maintenance that we give it. But if you are not constantly maintaining the blessings that God has given you, you're going to have to give it back. And so I want you to know that because we have to be stewarding well over the things that God has given us. We think there's so many things in this life we take for granted. I myself have taken so many things for granted. And that's why I'm so committed on this walk with Christ, because I don't want to miss anything else that God has for me. I know I have missed out on so much. And by God's grace, God will spin the block for some things again for you to have access to it, because you was not able to maintain it nor be in position for it previously. He'll spin the block for you to be able to indulge in it and to be presented with it again in another lifetime. Meaning it's some seasons down the road or whatever. I'm so thankful for that. And because I understand that, I know I have missed, I don't even got to know what. I don't know what I missed out on. But when I have experienced God to this depth, I have been able to see the goodness of God. As I've been saved for almost 3 years, I have seen the goodness of God in these past 3 years in the most mind-blowing ways, to the point where I'll never go back to culture. Culture will never be able to solicit anything to me that will get me to compromise my relationship with God, because I'm that deep in. And if it is not of God, I do not want it. I don't care what price it comes at. I don't care what it look like, what color it is, what it'll do for me. I don't want it. And so I have become so committed to God to the point that I just want whatever God has for me. And so it goes back to maintaining the things that God has for me. I am at this point in my life where I know I've missed out on so many things previously. I don't want to miss out on nothing else. So the things that I have been assigned to in this season, I'm going to maintain. The things that God gives me, I am going to give my all, because I don't want to miss out. And I think people think that because God is so gracious, and because God is so good, and because God is so merciful, that we will be able to have access to all the things that we missed out before. That is not biblical. There is some things in this life that you will be able to experience again because you did not have the character to maintain it then before. There's some things God's going to spend a block on again for you. But there is some things in this life, and I don't know who need to hear this, but you need to hear it and you need to apply it to your life. There are some things in this life that you have missed out on because it was a one-time opportunity. There are some things in this life that God will not present to you again because it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And because you were not in position to receive it, you missed out. There is some things in this life that God is not going to spin the block on again because you had to be in position to receive it at the time that it was presented to you. And that is why God urges us so badly to be in relationship with Him, because if you knew what God had for you, you wouldn't want to be out of position so that you miss it. And because I don't want to be out of position to miss anything that God has for me, I am going to be here and I'm going to be present because I don't want to miss any more once in a lifetime opportunities. I have already missed enough, and I don't have to know what I missed to know that I missed them. So that is why you have to steward well over what God has given you, because some things God might not give you back once He asks for it back. There's just some things that God gonna say, you just keep showing me time after time after time after time after time after time after time that you don't really want this like you say you do, because if you did, you would steward well over it. So I'm just gonna need that back. We just not even gonna go down that road with you no more. We just gonna move on to something else. That's just not gonna be an area that you get to explore. There is some things in your life that you are going to miss out on if you do not steward well over what God has given you. And that is the trick of the enemy. The enemy wants to come, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he don't just use you to kill, steal, and destroy somebody else. He uses you and then he ditches you, and in the end, you are destroyed. So whole time he got you stuck in these ways, and he's allowing you to believe, is that illusion? He's allowing you to believe that it's better for you to maintain being who you are versus changing. It's easier for you to get what you want when you stuck in your ways like this. Whole time, you really being robbed of things that God is trying to give you. So he really destroying you in the long run, because the enemy will get you to the point where you're not even usage no more for him, because you're accounted for. Some people the devil is not after, because you are already accounted for. He don't got to see about you. He already know you on his team. He already know you on his roster. He don't got to go check on you. He don't got to go recruit you. He don't got to go attack you. He don't got to do none of that, because he already know when he look on his list, he going to put a check by your name, because you already accounted for. There is some people like myself that the enemy is actively chasing day by day, using whoever he can to do whatever they can do for him. Because he knows I am after God. And so he has no choice but to send attacks and to send whatever he can, distractions or whatever, so that he can get me to compromise who I am after and what I am after. I am after my calling and my purpose. And I have to be after God in order for me to be after that. Because you can't have purpose and you can't have a calling if you don't have God. It's a bundle, baby. You got to have it all together. You can't have one without the other. And so the enemy is after me that way. And there is just some people who he not after. Some people are just accounted for. And so he allows you to believe that because you are stuck, it's easier for you to be this way. It's easier for you to be like that. It's easy for you to do this. It's easier for you to do that. There's going to come a point in your life where the enemy will no longer be able to use you, because the same way those people accounted for, they too were on the same hamster wheel. There was test after test after test that they kept being presented with. And instead of choosing God, they chose the enemy. After test 10, the enemy don't got to see you. Test 11 and know that you're going to choose him. He don't got to do it. He ain't got to waste his time. He after people like me, because you easy prey. He don't even got to count for you. He know you're going to show up. So he allows these people to do this and to do that. But those people will eventually become like the people that's accounted for, because you're going to be presented with test after test after test. And if you keep choosing the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, eventually he's going to have no use for you. He's going to be on to somebody else, recruiting somebody else. So the way that he thought he tried to use you to convince you to believe that you had the power to kill, steal, and destroy somebody else, whole time he was really killing, stealing, and destroying you. All he's going to do is get you to this point to where he no longer want to use you no more. And I'm thankful by the grace of God that God don't never run out of purpose. He don't never run out of usage. He going to always want to use you. The enemy going to get you to a point to where he no longer wants to use you. You're not going to be able to fulfill the assignments to the capacity that he needs you to no more, because you easy prey. You're accounted for. And so it's easier for you to live in this illusion that it's that you should stay like this and you should be like that and you should do this and you should do that. It's easier. And so I'm on this walk with God, where I'm having to be committed in this marriage to where somebody I love dearly has allowed me to have to surrender this part of my life, because God, I've done everything. I've done everything and I don't want it anymore. And if I'm being truthful, I'm at this point in my life and with God, and I live in such honesty that God, I say all the time, I don't want you to fix him for me. I don't. Because I know how God do. And I tell God that all the time. I say, God, I know how you do. I know how you'll assign people like myself to this assignment, because that's the goodness of God, is knowing that here I am going through something that the enemy thought he could take me out in. Whole time God prepared me for, because I have been committed to the previous seasons. When you realize that God don't prepare you when you get there, you are prepared. Pre means before. You are prepared before you get there, which means everything you are enduring in the season of your life right now, you have been equipped to handle. You have to go in your toolbox, see what tools is in there, see what tools you need to use to help you navigate through this season. So because the enemy thought that I was going to get so wrapped up on what I had going on in this marriage, he was using that to think that it was going to destroy me. Whole time God had been prepared. God had already prepared me for this. And so I was going through all of this mess, and still is going through all of this mess. Whole time I've been graced for it. So the question of, God, why did you assign me to this man knowing that it was going to produce this? I got the answer when I fasted. I was graced for this. There's going to be some assignments in your life that you don't want to show up for, that you don't choose. God chooses for you. There's going to be some things in this life that you don't want to do. There's going to be some things in this life that you don't understand. But when you ask God to use you, you can't expect to be used for the pretty stuff. You have to be used for the things that's going to hurt your feelings, for the things that you don't want to show up for the things that you wouldn't assign yourself to, for the things that, God, if you would have told me this before all of this, oh, I would have told you no, because that's the realness of this. If God would have told me how this man was going to be and how this man was going to act and how this man was going to become so diverted from the original route, I'd have told you no, God. And see, that's why God be God, and God be knowing what he doing. He only tell you bits and pieces, because if he knew if he told you everything, you would have said no. So he know what to tell you so that you'll say yes. And so I'm on this walk, and I'm at this point where, God, I don't want this marriage no more. I don't want this man. And I think people don't live in this realness to where they say, God, I heard your voice in this thing that you've given me, but God, I don't want it no more. I know I prayed for it, but God, I don't want it no more. Because God, I've done everything here. There's nothing left for me to do. And the goodness of God is, when you have stewarded well, God, I thank you, over what you have been assigned to in this season, trust and believe and understand that your reward will not come from man. It will come from God. So even when you didn't get the results that you was looking for, even when you didn't get what you wanted, trust and believe that everything that you have been through and everything that you have committed to and sacrificed for, it is still usage for God. And God will honor your faithfulness to the thing he has assigned you to in this season, and he will reward you for your obedience. And so I am so excited to know that this season of my life, although I am not where I thought I would have been, I am where I know I'm supposed to be. And because the goodness of God is, he will not allow people to bleed onto you. He will protect you from things that the enemy will try to use to harm and destroy you. And so here I am in this marriage that I want out of so badly. And if I'm being real, that I'm aiming and working hard to get out of. There's just some things that I can't do right now. And I don't know if it's God or if it's, I know it's God, but there, you know, in my state that I live in, you have to be separated for a year before you can divorce. And that's why I was going back to, I know how God do. God will assign you to something, and it'll start off one way, and it'll go another way, and it'll take a loophole, and then it'll turn that way and go this way, and then it'll do a whole 180, and then it'll be the best thing in your life when it was previously the worst thing in your life. And I say all the time, God, don't fix him for me. I don't want this. I know I pray for this, but this ain't the version that I wanted. This is a generic brand. Oh. This the off brand. I mean, you know, like this is not the name brand. This is the lesser brand. I don't want this brand. I wanted the marriage that came with ease. I wanted somebody who was willing to compromise. I wanted somebody who was not going to be easily astrayed by the tricks of the enemy. I wanted somebody who told me that their faith was what their faith was, and not just what it was because it was what it was, but God, I want somebody whose faith was going to grow. Where God, it didn't matter what we was up against, that our foundation would always be you, and that we would always be reminded that the things you present to us will not destroy us. The Bible says, take heart. Do not, you will go through these things in this world, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So the things that we have been presented with and the things that we have been assigned to, we have the ability and the power to get through, because if God is in us and he has overcome the world, then the thing that we are facing, we have the ability to overcome as well. God, I wanted somebody who was going to be committed like that. God, I wanted somebody who saw me for who I was and not for what they wanted me to be. God, I wanted somebody who was not going to ask me to compromise my calling for me to do what they felt was best for me in this season, when I was doing what God had called me to do in this season. So God, I'm at this point in my life right now where I don't want this marriage. And if I'm being honest, I'm at this point in my life, God, where if other things such as children was not invested in this marriage, I'm to this point in my life to where I could walk away from this marriage and never talk to this person ever again in my life. And see, I think sometimes the worst of the worst has to happen. There's a lot of bad things that have been done to me in this season. There has been a lot of bad things that I have not liked that has happened to me in this season. There has been a lot of ways that I've had to deal with in this season that I'm better than dealing with. I shouldn't have to be going through the things that I'm going through because I don't deserve that. But I also know that this didn't happen to me, it happened for me. And so I'm at this point where if I never had to talk to this person again in my life, I never would talk to him ever again in my life. But see, God, but because, and I think when that's where I was getting at, where people think that the worst of the worst has to happen to you. There's a lot that I've been through in this season that are unnecessary, and it doesn't have to be X, Y, and Z for it to be a deal breaker for me. People think that the worst of the worst has to happen for you to not want to be involved with people anymore. No. We don't have to have 20 red flags to say, oh yeah, I saw the red flags, but I just thought this or I just thought that. No, the moment something no longer serves its purpose, it's time to let it go. Now, there is some things in this life that you are not going to be able to uproot yourself from based off of how you feel. We already covered that. But there is some things in this life that simply do not serve you, and you do have the power and the ability to say, hey, I no longer desire this thing that I was once okay with in my life. And so I'm going to make some changes to where I'm going to move forward without this thing because it no longer serves its purpose. So there is some things in your life that you will be able to make the decision of that no longer serves you. And so I'm in this point in my life where I don't want this no more. And if I didn't never have to talk to him again, I probably wouldn't. And it doesn't mean I'm angry. It doesn't mean I'm bitter. It doesn't mean I'm hurt. It just means I've come to terms that you are content being who you want to be, and I have no choice but to let you be that person. I want to be who God has called me to be, and I don't want to be attached to anybody else who will get me to feel as if I have to compromise. There has been points in this marriage to where I felt like I had to choose between my husband and God, and I don't love my husband more than I love God, and there is just nothing in this world that I desire more than God. So God, if I have to choose, it won't be this marriage, it will be you. And you got to get to that point on your walk with God to where you say, God, if this is not something you want me to stay in, then I'm out. And I'm out. I'm out. Where I am right now, I am out. And I feel the Holy Spirit has told me to come to terms with that. Because if not, we will keep fighting against the thing that God is saying is no longer a thing in this season. Just because something was accessible to you in the season before does not mean it is accessible to you in this season. Just because God allowed you to do one thing in your life before does not mean it is a thing he's allowing you to do in this season of your life. That is why when you are presented with something that God has allowed you to be presented with at the time that it is presented, you have to take full advantage of it, because you don't know if you are going to have this thing that you have been presented with right now in the next season of your life. That's why we have to seize every moment and every opportunity that God has given us, because some things that God has allowed you to experience in this season of your life will not be with you in the next season of your life. There is just some things that God starts and stops. And so I'm okay with knowing that this is no longer the thing that God desires for me. I am okay knowing that because that was something we did previously, we're not doing that now. And God has allowed doors to be open like I've never experienced before. Because my husband is committed to doing things in his life that do not include me, I have to be okay letting that go. I have to be okay letting him make those things. That is literally simply saying, God has given me, let's just for instance, when I was smoking weed, God told me, hey, I know I let you smoke weed for a bit. I let you smoke weed. You got saved. I didn't take weed from you immediately. I let you continue to do what you want to do. But hey, we've reached this point now to where the thing that you like to do, that weed stuff, you got to let it go. You got to let it go, or I'm not going to be able to take you where I'm trying to take you, because that is going to be the thing that causes you to miss out on what I'm doing in your life. So you can have it, or it can have you. What you going to do? And I remember saying, I'm done smoking weed. And then I remember hanging out with my homeboys and having a good time. And we would be at the little shindig. And I'd be like, well, I'm going to just smoke. I don't smoke on a regular day. I just smoke occasionally. And God was like, hey, remember that weed thing we talked about? You doing it again. I said to stop smoking weed. I didn't say it was going to be recreational. I didn't say it was going to be on your terms and agreements. I said to let it go. If not, I'm telling you, you're going to miss out. So then, you know, you got to get it wrong a few times before you get it right. I smoke again and God say, hey, you doing that thing again. I know you feel that conviction. You doing it again. I say, I know I'm not supposed to be smoking weed. I know I'm not. So then I go smoke weed again. And God say, hey, you know what? I ain't going to keep telling you. This is my last time. I ain't telling you no more, because what you saying is, you know I told you not to be smoking weed, but you showing me that you don't care and you going to do what you want to do. So I'm going to let you do you, boo. I'm going to let you do you. But understand that you will now miss out on what I have for you, because you didn't want to come out of the thing that I told you to stop doing. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to wrestle with you. I'm going to let you do what you want to do. I'm going to let you be who you want to be. I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself, because the moment you start making decisions for yourself and thinking your will is better than God's will, you start fitting the bill for whatever come your way. So when life be life-ing, that's on you. Don't be praying that prayer, oh God, come save me. God, take this bondage from me. God, take this weight off my shoulder. That is weight that you assigned to you because you decided to stay in things that God has called you out of. So it goes back to that. You got to let people do what they want to do. I'm going to let him be who he wants to be, even if it is without me. And I am so thankful that I am at that point in my life because I am no longer holding on to something that God has not allowed me to be accessible to in this season of my life. My husband and I are on two different pages in two different places, doing two different things. And I am okay with that. And I am okay knowing that God has equipped me to be who he has called me to be at this place in my life, and I know doors are opening. I've seen it. The shift has taken place. Y'all, when I say I'm in the best spirit of my life, oh my God, it is literally like sunshine after a drought, after it's rained, after it's flooded. Lord Jesus, I'm so happy to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm so thankful that I have sought the Lord and that I did not uproot myself from the things that I was feeling, from the things that I was going through, from the things that I was not oblivious to. I am so thankful that I stayed 10 toes down in the hardest season of my life because if I would have uprooted myself, I would have missed God. And so I'm so happy because this podcast is back rocking and rolling because I have allowed myself to learn what God was teaching me in this previous season of my life. And I want you to know just because something started off equally yoked does not mean it will continue to be equally yoked. You have to constantly assess things in your life because if not, you would think just because you still have access to it, that it should still have access to you. There's certain things in your life that you need to go revisit to see if it meets the objectives that you are, to see if it meets the objectives for the role that God has assigned you to in the season of your life. Just because it met a previous role does not mean it meets the current one. So you have to go back and see if those things still have the same quality of life. If it meets the same quality of life that it did back then, that as if it does now. Some things were vile back then in some seasons. Some they have now turned into dead weight. Some things were blooming and blossoming back then. Some of those things that we are still toting with us are dead. And we need to be free from. We need to let them go because it is only prohibiting us from becoming who God has called us to become. And I said previously, we have missed out on too much to constantly stay in things that will allow us to continuously miss out on what God has for us. Take this example from me. Living your truth, your words is power. What you go through, somebody else is going through. You are not the first. You will not be the last. But you will allow people to miss freedom if you do not do what God has called you to do. There are certain people still in bondage because you won't submit to the call that is on your life. Your words are power. The enemy has control over you because you play oblivious to what it is you are going through and what it is you are being used for. It did not happen to you, it happened for you. You have to come to terms with what it really is and come out of that illusion of what you would like for it to be. Emotions, feelings, and what you think and what you should. Is not biblical. Process your emotions, feel what you need to feel, but come out of those things so that you can get going. Time has already been wasted. We do not have to constantly waste anymore. Tomorrow is not promised. Use what you have right now because all you have is all you need. I don't know who this word was for because it's been urgent on my spirit all day to get up here and talk about my situation. But I want you to know you have purpose. What you are in will not destroy you. What you are in was not meant to defeat you. You have to ask God what it is that He is teaching you through what it is you are going through. You are being prepared. What you are facing right now, you have already been previously equipped for. Go in your toolbox, look and see what it is that was previously taught that you can apply to the season that you are in so that you can get to learning the things that you are being prepared for right now. God allows you to stay ready so you do not have to get ready. Do not miss your mark because you do not want to learn what God is teaching, because you would rather live in an illusion of what you would like for it to be versus accepting what it is. It is time. The time is now. You have to come out. You have to wake up. You have to submit to the call. We have already missed out on so much. The beginning of the year for me was so rough, man. But let me tell you something. The shift has taken place. And from September to December, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard what God has in store for me. I have already have experienced the goodness of God since allowing this situation to be my reality. I have already seen some things that I know was nothing but God, but I also know that it was God's reward because I allowed myself to continuously go through the things that my feelings wanted me to uproot myself from. The enemy wants you to move off of emotions. Society tells you to believe that because you feel something is right, you should do it. Because you feel sad, you should go do this that makes you happy. Because you feel you should move, you should go move wherever you want to move. Feelings is not biblical. We have grown accustomed to moving off of feelings, that we move off of what we feel, and we miss God time after time after time after time, and we wonder why it takes us 40 years to get to a destination that should have took us 11 days. We are already, we have already been, people before us have already had these same characteristics that we have. They have these same, being presented with these same tactics. They have the same mindset. We have to be saying, we have to come to agreement that we no longer want that to be the thing that keeps us in bondage. Some people before us didn't know better. When you know better, you do better. We don't have to be the Israelites. We can be better than that. We don't have to wander for 40 years on an assignment that could have took 11 days. We saw they did it. So we have to come to a terms that, hey, God, I don't want that to be me. So teach me what I need to be taught so that my trip can last 11 days. Because, God, if it's hard for the, if it's the hardest 11 days of my life, I would rather it be the hardest 11 days of my life versus going through the hardest 40 years of my life. I would rather do 11 days versus 40 years. I don't care what I got to endure. I'll take the 11 days, Yana. So remember, as you go this week, I need you to know it's not people being in your business. It's not people's opinions that matter. It's submitting to what God has called you to submit to and using your voice to acknowledge that that is your power. Speaking things as they are is your power. Allowing yourself to see things for what God wants you to see them for is your power. Being in community with people who see you for you and not judging you is your power. I'm so thankful that the thing the enemy allowed me to live in silence in previously in my life when I used to pretend and suffer in silence with the kid's dad for 8 years, that was something he allowed me to do, and none of my friends knew I was suffering. They didn't know I was suffering until the end parts came, and that was because I had suffered so bad to the point it was coming up like vomit. It was literally seeping through my pores. My skin was so bad. My weight was so horrible. I looked like a total different person. It was pouring out in places that I never knew it could pour out in. And so that was the only time when people knew I was suffering. So because the enemy allowed me to believe that that was something I should have did back then, I did. And it kept me in bondage longer than it should have. And now the thing that the enemy once had power over, he no longer does, because this time all of my friends knew what I was going through, because I live in my truth. I don't have to present things in this facade. I don't have to present this illusion. This is real life, baby, and I'm living it. And all my friends knew and know what I'm going through right now, because at least I'm in community to where people who have the same foundation, which is God, and pursuing the same race I'm pursuing, which is God, people who are rooting for me, not for who they want me to be, but for who God has called me to be. Those people are aware, and I have allowed them to be aware of what I'm going through, because now people know to look and seek for me and to check on me. You have to be in community with people who see you for who you are and not put judgment on you based off of who they want you to be. This is real life. You got to come in agreement and be running this race with people who are committed to the same thing at the same level that you are committed on. And so I know this word, it seems like it might be all over the place, because I'm touching topics, a lot of topics, and I'm talking about a lot of stuff, but it was pertinent. All this was pertinent. I felt the Holy Spirit urging on me all day. We shooting a podcast today. We shooting a podcast today. We shooting a podcast. You're gonna talk about your marriage. You're gonna talk about season 15. You're gonna talk about this transition. You're gonna talk about how I'm doing a new thing. How y'all live in two different places. How y'all doing two different things. How we on two different assignments. We're talking about that. This new season is what we're learning. It's talking about what we learned. It's talking about things that people don't want to talk about. No, people is not talking about their marriage being tore up, and how they don't want the thing that they prayed for, and how they going through some things, and how they thought because it was equally yoked, it would stay equally yoked. People have to be committed to the assignment they was once assigned to, and do that constant maintenance so that it can continuously produce the things that God wanted it to produce. You have to constantly water that thing so you can get the most effective usage out of it. If not, it will begin to deteriorate. You have to constantly water it. You have to constantly maintain it so that you can get the full advantage that God desired for you to get. And so I know this word was for somebody, and I pray that you are inspired by my story to come into terms with who you are, whose you are, and know that it didn't happen to you, it happened for you, and that God will use it. I don't care what pivot point you are at right now in this walk with God, where even if you ain't pursuing God, but you desire something from God. I don't know if you feel like God is urging something in my spirit to get serious. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you could be at the worst point in your life. My marriage is falling to pieces and have fallen to pieces, honey. But God, I still trust you. Whatever it is that you are in, whatever it is you are doing, God will use you and take you as you are right now. You do not have to wait till tomorrow to get right. You can get right today. And when I say right, meaning get on the right path. That is saying, God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know you died for my sins, and I ask that you come in my heart and purify it. Make me new. Make me more like you. Forgive me of all the things that I've done. God, I desire a relationship with you. We got to get serious with God, because if truthfully, ain't nobody coming to save you, honey. Nobody. Pursuing God is a choice. And I hope you don't wait another day when you have the opportunity to do it today. You are loved. You are seen. You have purpose. You have a mission. People are waiting on you. People are rooting for you. This is just the beginning. Get your life right. The time is now. So I hope you have been enjoying this podcast, because I have too. And it's just been amazing. It's been good to be back. I'm thankful. And I'm committed on a level that I didn't even know I could be committed on. So we finna start talking about some raw stuff in the episodes to come, but stay tuned, because I need you to know that things are about to get better in your life. You've been faithful, you've been obedient, you've been patient, you've been resilient, you've been having faith and trusting and believing and speaking it, waiting on it, all that good stuff. Eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard, all the things that God is about to do in this season of your life. And again, do not wait till tomorrow when you have the opportunity to do it today. Until next time, be you, Black girl. This your girl, Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalize.